Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Just let the Lord continue to touch your heart right now. He's healing hearts, he's healing memories, he's bringing forth our destiny. We leave behind the things that trap us, no more to be seen. We leave behind those memories. I saw the Lord, even from the beginning of praise and worship, touching hearts and stored up things. You know, this life, it's kind of a journey, and we sometimes have to go through stuff that's just a little too hard. And because we want to be faithful to the Lord, sometimes we just keep going. We just keep doing the right thing. We keep plugging away and having faith in God and going down our road. But sometimes our heart or our soul stores up some of those things. And I saw tonight God just wants to gently open and remove. He won't embarrass you. He won't shame you. It won't hurt. But he just wants you not to have to carry some of that stuff anymore. And as he frees us, he can relieve what I call weariness. It's like not a physical tiredness, but there grows what sometimes can be a soul weariness for some people because they've just seen too much, been through too much, handled too much for too long. And we all have different ways of dealing with those things, but when God comes to remove it, it's like being made new again. It's like being born again again. It's like being having a relief, even when we didn't know we were carrying this heavy anvil or this heavy anchor that was weighing us down in the road. And so right now I see sorrow of many years. Sometimes sorrow can attach to us. Years ago, I was at work, and there was a dear brother. It was a secular job, but this dear brother was a man of God, and I worked with him, and he operated in the gifts of the Spirit, and he was praying for me, and he said, I see two lakes inside of you, and one is a lake of sorrow, and one is a lake of disappointment, and I knew exactly what he was talking about. I'd been through too many years of stuff. And, you know, sometimes during it, you don't have the opportunity to get the healing. But sometimes later, God revisits and says, okay, let me now remove the great sorrow. Because some of us are, you know, we say the things we do and we act the way we do because we have these things in our soul that we've carried too long. And sometimes we don't even know because it can hide. And so I saw God just opening gently like a storage. It looked like a metal lid on a storage tank. And I saw him just reach in. You know, the blood of Jesus covers everything. It covers sorrow. It covers grief. It covers I'm hearing the word wailing. I'm not sure when, but not all that long ago, you were just grieving and weeping before the Lord, almost like a wailing of anguish is the word I'm looking for. And it just was too much, and I saw the Lord just gently reach in and scoop out years of sorrow, years of anguish, years of, oh God, is this ever going to be changed? Am I ever going to get my breakthrough? And I see walls coming down tonight. I was, while we were worshiping in that last song, I was in the Spirit, and this is a little weird, but sometimes the things of the Spirit are a little odd. And I was standing on this mountain, and I saw the mountain split right down the middle, and God moved that mountain, but he actually split it in two and pushed it, the two sides apart. And he is saying this to someone, the mountain that has stopped you for years, you were like marching in place going, when is this mountain ever going to move? When is this wall ever going to come down? And I saw that he didn't just move it, he split it, he divided it, and he pushed it aside. And there's going to be breakthrough in your life. If you've been standing before a blockade, if you've been marching in place like, why am I stuck? Why can't I get this breakthrough? I'm seeing your breakthrough, because as he moves that mountain, I saw him split it, push it to the side, you were able to walk right through, and I saw great brightness on the other side. You know, sometimes we can wait so long for our breakthrough, we almost can forget what we hoped for. You know, it's too hard when so many years go by. And then when it comes, you know, it says hope deferred. It makes the heart sick, but when it comes, it's a tree of life. And I can tell you, after decades of hope deferred, a few years ago, God started giving me more and more hope, manifested the things that he promised. They began to manifest one after another, until you just think, what else is he going to do? You know, there is an end to sorrow. There is a promise that he keeps if we don't faint and we don't give up on his goodness. If we don't give up on him, there is an end to sorrow. There is a reward that God has for us. And each person's will be different. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about in this earth when we're just faithful and we don't understand why it went down the way it did, or why someone took their life, or why someone overdosed, or why we lost someone we loved, or why things went south when they shouldn't have, and we did everything we knew to do what was right. We don't always understand what happened. But this I do know, if we won't quit on him, if we won't let the devil persuade us that God's no good, if we won't believe the devil's lie, that God doesn't keep his promise, we can say, yeah, I know that happened. I don't understand it, but this I know. My God is good. So devil, you can take it and stuff it. My God is good. And this is what I know. When you hold fast to the promise, when it makes no sense, you can die so much on the inside that you don't even want the thing anymore, because you can't, it's almost too painful to think about. I'm not talking to everybody, so if it doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. I'm just saying from personal experience, when you become so emotionally involved with the promise of God, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, you begin to your emotions begin to die on the inside. That's called the death process. But when God starts to resurrect it, you go, you know what? I love you, God, but please go pick someone else. I really don't. I don't want that anymore. It's too painful. You know, please go, please, I love you, but go pick someone else. You know, it's just too painful. But see, you were born for certain things, and everyone is different. What you're born for is different than what anyone else in the room was born for. But those things are written about you in heaven's book. And so God desires, and not, you know, it's not because he wants your good works. God can raise up rocks, you know, to do good works. God doesn't actually need for us to do them. But what he does is he loves you, and he wants to benefit you to fulfill the thing that he gave you to do. For one reason, it's the one thing that brings a great fulfillment. When you finally come into doing the thing you were born to do, it's like finding the first pair of shoes that ever fit in your life. It's like you always had your left shoe on your right foot. Nothing ever felt right. And then when you come into the thing you were born to do, it is such a wonderful fit, and it's full of joy. It makes you happy. You enjoy doing it. It's fun and not work, because you were born to do it. So you're really good at it. And so God wants to, I see him removing all kinds of blockages tonight. So we're not really preaching tonight. We're really more interacting with heaven. You know, you guys know a lot. I don't think you need more preaching right now. Sometimes we know a lot, but we can't seem to get the stuff out of our heart. I'm just going to go there. Someone, you have had so much difficulty in your family line, and you have like been raised up and fall down and raised up and fall down and raised up and fall down because of all the terrible things that happened in your family line. And God wants to I see him pulling a thread up out of your family lineage. I see him pulling this thread up and out of your generations that has caused every kind of sorrow, it has caused failure, it has caused confusion, it's caused a lot of wounding, and I just see God so simply pulling this thread of iniquity out of the family line. It's just something the enemy does to families, doesn't he? He gets something on you, and then he begins to try to visit it from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. But God, through the blood, can not only heal that, he can pull it out and make it as though it never happened. God can do that. The blood is much more powerful than we sometimes understand. I'm just watching here for a second. I see this giant boulder. It's huge. It's bigger than you are, and you've spoken to it, you've commanded it, you've prayed about it, you've fasted, you've done all this stuff, but you couldn't get this thing to move. And I don't know what this means. This is just for one person, but I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to you, "Psst, hey, come over here. Look around here. I have something to show you. The way I'm going to take you is different than the way you're thinking, and you've been rigid in your thinking about the way you think I'm going to do it. But guess what? I have a better way. And if you will listen to me, if you will follow me, let go of your ideas. Let go of your great plans that you figured out. Let me be God." I don't want to say it, but he's saying, "For once, would you let me be God? For once, would you let me show you my architectural design of the house that I'm building? You're trying to build something. It's nice. I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I got something better. And what I want to do is show you and imprint it. I want to take my architectural plan for these things that you want to build, and I want to imprint these plans in your soul. I want to put them in your heart." Even as when David went before the Lord, and the Lord gave him cubit by cubit by cubit. He gave him every single detail of how the temple should look. I mean, he told him the materials to use. He told him to the inch how big things should be, how tall it should be, how wide it should be. That's an architectural plan from heaven, isn't it? It's a blueprint from heaven. And there's a place where it says, "Be careful to do exactly what I showed you on the mountain. Build according to what I showed you." Don't just go build because I said you're going to build a house. Sometimes people hear God say, you're going to build something, and they run and build it, and it's like they stick two boards together and nail it, and they slap a third one on there, and it just falls down because it's not his blueprint. So when he says go build something, don't just go build it. Wait on him, sit with him until he burns that blueprint on the inside. I'm talking to somebody. I'm not sure what you're building, but you know who you are. And you've had a plan, and I'm not going to say it's not a good one, but God has a supernatural one. He has a heavenly one that will bring the kingdom on earth. There's a difference between something that a man can build and something that God can build through a man. And so he says, if you will let go of your plan, if you will let go of your ideas and let me be God in this, I will build something through you that will not just be the plan of man, it will be the plan of God, and people will be changed by it. The kingdom is being built by it. See, because some structures, some plans are heavenly, And so God actually builds them or installs them. And I'm not talking about a physical house. I'm not sure exactly what this is, but this is like a structure in the earth that will cause people to be changed for the kingdom, which is what you've asked for. But it's by the power of God that these things happen. So if this is bearing witness to you, just say to the Father, I'm giving up my plans, and I want your plans instead. I'm giving up my plans. Give me your plans instead. Because see, his plans are always better. He's a genius. He created your poor little brain, right? With the breath of his mouth. Not even hard. So he has a far superior intellect, doesn't he? And when we honor that, and we give him leeway to take over and do what he wants, we will always see the glory of God in it. Now I'm seeing something I call road weariness. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I see some of your people in here. They've been a long way down the road of God. And they've done well and they're faithful. Excuse me. Let me know if you get some. But some folks in here, you've walked a long way. And I saw one person in here, you took some persecution from people. It wasn't heavy duty. I mean, you didn't get beat up. But I saw people like throwing little, pelting you with rocks. Unkind words, discouraging words, trying to knock you down, trying to take you down a notch. Isn't that what people do sometimes? Yeah, you can. The whole New Testament is full of it, of persecution against those that were trying to go down God's road. And what I saw was, because of it, you had protected yourself. You know, that's what we have to do sometimes, right? You gird up your strength. You might put on some armor. You get tough because you have to, right? But what I saw was God just peeling off the years, even some of the protections, because sometimes we can get hard. We can get a little hard in our heart because of what we go through. And this is quite normal. It happens to us all. It can happen to anyone. It doesn't mean you're backslid, but your heart can grow a little tough. And I saw God gently, gently doing a little operation with a little sharp knife, and he was circumcising the heart anew. You know, sometimes when you're wounded, I'm just going to say, sometimes you can even be wounded by people in the church. Sometimes you can be wounded by even leaders who you may not even know, they may not even realize they've hurt you. And what happens is, Satan will try to get you to fall away. But if you wouldn't fall away, sometimes what you do is harden your heart a little so that those things can't hurt you. The problem with that is it puts like a shield over your heart or a callus, and then you can't hear God as well anymore. You're not as sensitive to the things of God anymore because you had to toughen yourself, okay? And that's why we would want our heart circumcised anew, that any callus or barrier, we never want that to separate us from hearing God, do we? We never want our toughness. We always want to be tender towards him, and we need to be. And so right now I just see him. I see a couple people, actually more than one person, on the operating table. And the operating table of God, it's actually a beautiful place, because what the operating table of God is it's where you trust him enough. You trust him enough to go into the operating room and say, I don't even know what's wrong with me, Lord, but you're the master physician. And I'm going to get on this table, and I trust you with a knife. Whatever I need to have removed, please remove it. And God will do it, but he won't ever chase you down, throw you to the ground, drag you in. He'll never do that. He waits for us because he's kind. And some people have never said, ooh, I'm the problem. You've never thought, or it's never occurred to you that there's something in you that may be your own worst enemy. You know? And I'm the queen of that, okay? I've had a million things that I've had to go to God and say, something's not right. You know, something's not right with me. I don't know what it is, but you do. I'm coming to the operating room again. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to pray just gently, and I'm going to submit myself to you until you just pull out what that is. Because I don't need that. It's not helping me. And sometimes that very thing is the blockage from why you're not receiving a breakthrough or a healing. Can you understand that? And so it's not that we're pointing fingers. Believe me, I've had more, you know, I want to say gallstones. I've never had gallstones. But, you know, when you have a problem, it needs to be removed. And there's no condemnation or judgment from the Father. He loves you. He wants to take it out because he loves you. And if that thing is what is causing you, what if you had, let's just imagine somebody, this is just pretend, but let's imagine someone that has a growth that presses on a spine. And so if they turn the wrong way, it presses and there's a zinger of pain, right? Well, you would need the Lord to remove that, right? Because it's causing all kinds of related issues, right? And so that's a parallel to things in the spirit that can grow. Bitterness can be like that, unforgiveness, anger, self-pity. There's a doozy. Self-pity is one of the most dangerous devils that there is. And it seems benign. It seems like it's not a big deal because you just want sympathy. You want people to feel sorry for you. That thing will keep you in sickness and disease and poverty. It will keep you in your sad, pathetic state. And I know because I used to be bound by it. It was horrible. And when I finally decided, see, because to be in self-pity, I lived there. My pastor warned me about it. He said, don't get in self-pity. And I thought, I won't. And I thought, what an odd thing to say. Well, I immediately went out and took a bath in the stupid thing and stayed in it. Poor me, poor me, poor me, because all these horrible things happened to me. And you know what? God wasn't moving off the throne for that. He loved me, but he was not going to help me. Because he was basically saying, he didn't say these words, but I'm telling you, if he had said them, they would have sounded something like this. When you're in self-pity, feeling you're sorry for yourself, you are not believing the word. You are not. You are believing another word of the enemy. You know what depression is? I'm going to expose some things. Depression is usually, almost always, believing a lie. It can be a number of them, but usually it's something like this. It's never going to get any better. I'm going to be depressed because it's never going to get any better. So what are we saying? Even God can't fix this one, or God doesn't care about me. God loves those other people, but not me. Do you hear the lies? Every one of those conflicts flies in the face of the promises of God. And so when you're doing that, see, I was so foolish, young, foolish. I thought that God should, you know, I knew he loved me. I had that revelation. Well, if you love me and I'm in this pathetic state, you should feel sorry for me and come and help me. Well, that was not his view. His view was, suck it up. I already came, died, was tortured, which you haven't been, by the way. Shed blood to provide everything you will need. Now, you can either believe it or not. You want to stay in the swamp? Stay in the swamp. Now, he was much nicer than that. But essentially, he was saying, You can stay there and feel sorry for yourself and essentially act like you're calling me a liar, or you can get up and walk out of that thing by believing what I have said, and I made my choice. But I'm sorry I stayed in that swamp too long. God wants to raise up mighty warriors. You can't be a mighty warrior when you're in the swamp of self-pity. You can't be a mighty warrior when you don't really believe his word. Believing his word, you know, I used to hear sermons like this, and I would just think, yeah, we got it. But I didn't really believe some of the hardcore stuff. And until I did, there was failures in my life, and I thought God should be doing more. But I found out something. The word is absolutely true. And if it says, if you do this, that will happen. That is a statement of fact. And you can bank your life on it. You can bank your whole life on it. You can stand on it. It's stronger cement than cement is. Did you know that all of heaven and earth are built upon the Word of God? When you die and go to heaven, we won't stop using the Word. We'll still be going to classes about the Word. We'll still be teaching the Word, learning about the Word, because the Word of God is the very force that holds all of the universe and the earth together. And because of our lack of understanding it and believing it, see, I'm a very simple person, and I don't know a lot, but I'll tell you what, I know now when it says that, that's true. And I can take that to the bank. I can stand in front of devils and I don't have to fear because Jesus said this. See, that was not always the case for me. They used to really eat me alive. I knew it here. I had a lot of head knowledge about it. But you know what? Your head knowledge won't save you when you're in the clinches. It's what you know in your guts, or as the Bible would say, truth in the inmost parts. That sets you free. And the devil knows when you got head knowledge, and he knows when you've got it in your guts. He knows. He'll push at you. He'll push at you to see what you're made of. Do you really believe that? You don't really believe that. You really believe that? He'll keep poking at it. He'll get a pointy little instrument and go, ee, 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 and just see what you do. And you don't know it's him. You think it's a thought. You think it's another person. You think it's something mean somebody said. It's him. And he's watching how you respond. But you can change. You can get to the place. You have to renew yourself from the inside out. You can change and get to the point where nothing he says, you're like, it is written. It is written. It is written. Then he sends big, scary ones. Really big, really scary ones. You're like, yeah, it's written. They can't get you if you won't let them. God wants some of us to be converted. I know you're born again, but it says we're supposed to work out our salvation. Work out our salvation. We're to be not conformed to the image of this world. That means to be poured into the mold of. Don't do that. There's Christians that you can't tell. If you didn't know, you wouldn't know if they were Christians or not. And I'm not pointing a finger. I'm saying there needs to be a working out of the salvation that he has given us. So great a salvation. It has to become a manifested thing. And a lot of times that doesn't manifest until you're challenged in the trenches and there's nobody else there. There's nobody else that's going to dig you out or bail you out. You're in there alone with a big, ugly, mean devil. And he will put thoughts in your head like, this is it. You're going down for the last time. You'll be dead by morning. He'll give you those thoughts. And what's on the inside of you will rise up. What's on the inside of you could be fear because you didn't get it in your guts. But as you age in this thing, it's like wine that ages, okay? As you live through this journey, something is supposed to ferment in you like a good wine, where you say, I remember, and this was not all that long ago, laying in bed, being so sick, I thought, oh, this is it. I was mad because I didn't do my estate planning. I mean, I was literally mad. I thought, I'm not going to make it till morning. And I was supposed to do that, and I didn't do it. What a dumb thing, right? But something in me rose up, and I went, no, that's not what my Father said. That's not what his Word said. And it began to come out of me, and within seconds, I'm talking about seconds, I was healed from head to toe. From just believing his Word. I don't even think I said it out loud. It was like he was trying. He was, you know, he's nervous about you. He's nervous about us. Especially because, I don't know why, but he can see your destiny often before you can. So he's got to persuade you. He's got to try to take you out. He'll try this way, that way, this way, that. Whatever will work on you. So we have some aging to do. We have some fermenting to do in the Word. It has to become what we know on the inside and not just head knowledge, not just lip service. It has to become what they call in Greek, gnosko. That means to know experientially. That's why fellowship with the Father, he wants to, I see him connecting to people that have never, there's people in this room, you love God with all your heart. With all your heart, you love God. But you've never known how to connect to him in relationship without other people, without some type of program or do this, don't do that, try this, the program. Not that those are wrong, but when you're in the clinches, what will count is your heart being melded with the Father's heart. And I'm actually seeing pictures of that going on tonight. That some of you that never, there's some in here that were afraid to, you never dared to. There were some in here you didn't know you could. My neighbor once said to me that someone had witnessed to her, and she said, well, they were acting like you could know Jesus, but really that meant you could, know about him. No, that's not what he died for. He didn't die so you could know about him. He didn't die so you'd have great doctrine. He died to tear the veil that separated God from man. He tore it from top to bottom so that you can come in no matter what your condition, no matter how many times you've gone off the path, no matter how bad you've screwed up, no matter what you think about yourself, your Father is calling you to come in. Come home. Come home. And I see this melding or this flowing together of two hearts. That is the desire of your Father. Your Father loves you. Even if you don't love yourself, I have news for you. Your Father loves you. And even if you're not proud of yourself, your Father is proud of you because he sees who you're gonna be. He sees who you're gonna be, who he created you to be. He's not moved by all our stuff. He knows we have stuff. We all have stuff. But he doesn't fall off the throne about that. He's after your heart becoming one with his heart so that your home, you know where home is for me? It's in him. I love the little place he gave me. I love that. That's a blessing and a treasure and a joy. But I'm telling you something, that's not my home. He's my home. And when I'm with him, I'm home. And when I'm not with him, I am not comfortable. You know, if I've been away too long, I don't like that. And he doesn't either. And I feel like God is calling us. And he's not, listen, he doesn't call you to do something that he doesn't pour out his ability. You know, he was reminding me of the scripture today. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. But I saw it in a new light. It's not just, oh, look up in the sky. Jesus is returning. You know, he'll split the sky, like a scroll. No. Look up means look into his place. Look into the rooms of God. Look into the heart of God. Come away from the stuff that has captured our attention with its silliness and its loudness and its busyness and its, never ending, you got to do this and you got to do that. You know, sometimes you just need to say, you know what, too bad, it's not going to get done. Oh well, I'm going to go hang out with my Father. And then he ends up making it get done faster. I don't know how he does it. I just know that if we can come in and pour ourselves into his heart. So some of you have had issues trusting, I heard. He said to me, some people have had trouble trusting me because of the way things have gone. But I heard him say to that one, I won't point you out, but you've always had a little trouble trusting God because so much was taken from you early in life and later in life. You've been stolen from your whole life by that enemy. And I heard the Lord say to you, because of those things, you've had trouble trusting me. But would you trust me enough just to come to me tonight, even now, and let me hold you in my arms. Let me heal your heart and let me show you why some of those things happened. Some of those things happened because of human decisions, and some of those things happened because there was a demonic inroad in your family. None of those things happened because I ordained them. Can you trust me enough to come inside the Father? Let your heart join to mine, he says, because I want to relieve you. I see you've been like a pincushion. The devil has pushed all these like pins and needles into your heart, and you've been trying to get through life, you know, and you're like this, always trying to avoid the pain because it's been so difficult, and it's hard for you to trust people because people have, you know, they've not done well by you. It's a nice way of saying it. And it's been hard for you to trust them, but Father is saying, I'm not asking you to trust people. I'm asking you to trust me. I am not like anyone you know. Will you give me tonight? Will you give me your heart tonight? And just let me spend time with you and pour my heart into yours, because all I have for you is healing. And I see him healing memories. I see a Holy Ghost memory wash. I see him peeling away, and this is for multiple people, actually many people, peeling away like you would peel a banana. I see years, in one person's case, it's years of distress, years of pain, and just feeling always like you're getting hit, you know, like you're always just trying to hold your own, and because of it, you've been angry because you've been, you know, you've been pushed in, pushed down, shoved down, and that's not right. No person, no human deserves to be treated without respect. We don't earn respect, we don't deserve respect, but we still should always treat one another with respect. We don't always do it, I don't always get it right. But this person I'm talking to in particular, you were never really respected. And because of it, when someone gets too close to your wound, an anger comes forth. And that's normal, right? Because anger, rage, it comes from when someone violated a boundary. In other words, someone violated something in you they shouldn't have. That causes us to be angry. That's quite normal. But the Father is saying, come to me and let me heal all that has happened in your life. I'm just seeing years being peeled off, even as, so if you don't understand what I'm doing, just go with me here. I'm in the Spirit. But God is peeling away years of abuse. I don't even know what this word means, but disabuse, I've heard. Disrespect, being made low, being brought low, being told you're not enough. Someone in here, you were continually told you didn't measure up, so you see yourself with this false measure of being like this high, and everybody else is this high, and God is pulling this ceiling off your head saying, that has never been what I said about you. I have never thought that way about you. I never will think that way about you. That was the enemy that used humans to do that. I am restoring you to your rightful stature, and everybody will see it. I am restoring you to your full height in the Spirit, and everybody will see it. And you will not carry shame about who you are, or what you've done, or how you look, or what people said, or what people think. Shame, go in the name of Jesus. You have no authority here. Jesus paid. He took shame. And in case you don't know it, he despised the shame. And you know why? They always show him with this little cloth. He was stark naked in front of the whole town. His mother, his disciples, the Pharisees, they were all there. He hung there naked. It was shameful. He did that to take our shame. Don't you dare carry shame. He did that. See, we don't want to leave anything that he did that we didn't receive it, because we had some idea that we weren't good enough or we didn't earn it. Of course you didn't. Listen, I'm going to talk real straight to you. You and I, we never earned anything. Nothing. I never did anything right that I should deserve healing or to be used in healing, or to be used by God, or to see in the Spirit. I never did anything that deserves that. There's only one that has ever done that. And if you are looking at your goodness or your badness, saying, I can receive this much, but not this much, because I wasn't good enough, forget it. That's a broken system. In our flesh, we were trash. Death passed upon all men from Adam. We were dead men walking. We had nothing but corruption to offer him. And he said, I will go anyway. The perfect one with all righteousness. So shall we say, well, I won't receive that because I don't know if I earned it. You couldn't have. No one earned it. No one is worthy to receive healing except him. So if you don't receive it as a free gift, you can't have it. And if you go through life belittling yourself and saying, well, I can receive this, but not this. I don't know if I'm good enough for that. Trust me, you're not. I'm not either. Never has anyone lived, ever. Not Paul, not John, not James. No disciple, not Moses, not Abraham, no one has ever existed except Jesus Christ that had anything that was worthy and righteous and pure. So take that whole pile of lies and throw it right now. Take it right now and throw it out and say, I'm not going to buy that jargon anymore. I'm not taking that lie from the enemy anymore. You just say, I admit it, Lord, I'm not worthy. Say it. I admit it, Lord. I'm not worthy. I never was. In my own strength, I never will be. So I'm throwing that whole concept out, and I'm stepping into the one and only that was ever worthy, and I receive his worthiness, his righteousness, and every single thing that he died for me to have, and I will not leave one bit of it behind. I will not let one drop of his blood to have been shed in vain. I will receive everything he has for me. In Jesus' name. Well, a lot of you just slammed the door on the dumb, ugly devil because he was using that to try to cheat you out of the promises. But Jesus said he's the father of lies and the truth is not in him. You got anything, Laura? Okay. Says, wait a minute. I'm not sure if I'm done or if I'm... So I'm hearing again sorrow and weariness. And Lord, I just, right now, I'm unhooking. It just looks like a hook in the spirit where sorrow and weariness has held onto the soul. And it's by reasons. But right now, that we just negate that and we unhook sorrow and weariness, disappointment. We unhook, oh, thank you, Father, years of subtle abuse. Now, what do I mean? I'm hearing that in the spirit. What I think it means is when someone that you lived with, they weren't overtly abusive, but they would like sneaky do things that were abusive. Some people in the world, they might call that passive aggressive, but it's like they would always act nice in one regard, but always nail you behind the scene. And it's called, I'm hearing the Lord call it subtle abuse, and I see years of that just peeling away. It's a form of manipulation, and it's wicked. It's wicked. And we say that has to go. And it has caused you to question your own value in God. But we will not have that. We will not allow it. In Jesus' name, we strip that off. We command that to be left behind in the road. I just see, thank you, a false mindset. It looks like a cap, almost like a swim cap, only dark. It's very tight to the head. But it's kept your thinking. This isn't everybody, okay? But I see it on more than one person, and it has caused thinking disorder. It has caused confusion. It's been difficult to believe. It's been difficult to walk straight in God, even though you love him. And I just see God so gently peeling off that assignment of disordered thinking, unrighteous thinking, kure kahashiki, self-deprecating thinking. Oh, thinking badly of self, accusing yourself, blaming yourself, that has to go. All of that has to go. Go. And I'm just seeing this. I'm seeing this giant. When I was a kid, they had this little game, and you'd draw on it, and then it was like a little slate, and you'd peel it, and you'd go, whoosh, and you'd have a clean slate. And you'd draw on it again, whoosh, and I just saw this giant slate with all this writing. And you know what it is? It's the handwriting of ordinances that was written against you, which has been nailed to the cross. And I saw this giant slate, whoosh, and it's gone. It's all gone. Even the accusations you held against yourself. There's someone here, you have despised yourself. No one knows it because you don't talk about it. But even when you go to bed at night, you've said terrible things about yourself over your day or what you did wrong, blah, 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 blah. And you mutter, you say it, you speak it. But God says, that is not who you are. And that is not true, and that's not how I see you. I have some place for you to go that is glorious. I have a place that is full of my presence and glory that I'm taking you. It is called your destiny. And I will not be held back by you thinking small of yourself when I think big of you. You have to know that how I see you, you're not there yet, I'll grant you that. You're on a journey. But Satan wants you to stay stuck in this hole, stuck in this hole in the road, because of these kind of lies. Well, I won't have it, says the Lord. I won't have it. I'm picking you up and out of those lies. We're going together. I will walk you and I'll carry you if I have to, but we are going to find the truth, and you're going to come to understand who you are, whose you are, and what you're here to do, and you're going to do it. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to teach you, and if you won't quit, if you won't let discouragement take you, if you won't believe the lies of the enemy, I will help you until the very end, until you cross over and you are well received. That is my desire for you, and I know that's your desire for yourself. And so I long for a people who will dare to believe the unbelievable, that they will dare to believe that I'm bigger than all their mess. My goodness is bigger than their badness. I can do more than their failure. I see past that. I see over it. I see more than that. Will you dare to believe that of me? Because when you believe that of me, then you see me as I am. I am a good God. It's true. I'm a good God, and I love you. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God. worldwide.com.